Father, I just thank you and I praise you for the opportunity to show this video and to teach your word this morning. I thank you, God, you keep putting these tools in our hands so that we can grow and we can prosper in you. And Father, those who are here this morning, you sent. You know exactly what they need. And Father God, I thank you that you are supplying those needs spiritually, physically. And Father, I want your holy angelic host to minister to your people as we go through this service. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit also, in Jesus' name. Now, this is we're going to show a short 15-minute clip, I think it is, or 20-minute clip of Kevin. It's Zadai. I spelled it wrong. But anyhow, he died and went to heaven. I want you to pay close attention to everything he says, because I've said it over and over again. God said it through me over and over again. But I'll also notice that if you hear from somebody else, you believe it. All right. So this is very Aaron, Brother Aaron told me to look at it, and I looked at it and I felt impressed to show it. But I entitled my little teaching this morning, "Will We Ever Get It Right?" You know, I said, "God, I need a title. I don't know what to put it in." He said, "Will they ever get it right?" So I put down, "Will we ever get it right?" And right now, the body of Christ is not getting it right. I don't know if you noticed the word he put out this morning, but he's a bit upset with the body of Christ again and again and again and again. But I really want you to look at this. Listen to this. Hear every word he has to say. And I couldn't sleep last night, so I was up all night watching some of his other videos. And, you know, the things that God has revealed to him is totally awesome. Now, I said, "God, I don't want to die, but I sure would like to go to heaven, you know, and teach me some of the things you're teaching this young man." And I believe everybody in here should have that desire. Not that you die, but God can come and just take you to heaven, because he died the first time, but then all these other visitations to heaven, he's alive and well like you and I. And I just believe that we all need to go there. And I think we all need to sit at his feet and be taught of him. And in this video, Jesus actually comes into his bedroom, so he can come into our bedroom, right? Is your bedroom pure and holy? Is your mind and your hands cleansed? Jesus might show up one day. Would you be surprised? You hear what I'm saying? But I just really believe, I don't know about you, but I'm disgusted at listening to everybody else's trips to heaven. And I haven't gone there yet. I didn't want to go to hell, but he took me there 3 times so I could teach you guys what's not to go there. But now I would really like to go to heaven. I really want that desire to get into each and every one of your hearts. And if you really got that desire in each and every one of your hearts, you wouldn't be doing the dumb things you're doing. You wouldn't be thinking the dumb things you're thinking. You just wouldn't, because it changes your whole life. When Brother Larry had his experience in heaven, you know, he said how awesome it was and how peaceful and everything it was. And, you know, he talked to Jesus and Jesus sent him back. But, you know, I thought, "No, God, you took him." Well, he died though, but you took him there. I died when I had my heart surgery, but he didn't take me to heaven. All right. So I feel cheated here this morning. Do you feel cheated a little bit that he doesn't take you to heaven? He does everybody else. He's no respecter of persons, what his word says, right? Well, I'm going to argue with that a little bit here this morning. So let's go ahead and watch this 15-minute video, and please listen to everything he has to say and watch it very closely. Then I'll make comments on it afterwards.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guest died, went to heaven, but was sent back with revelation of the invisible world. Most Bible believers don't have a clue. Most non-believers don't have a clue. All the action is occurring that's causing all the things going on, good, bad, or whatever, in your life from the invisible world. He even had downloaded how to have every one of your prayers answered. anyone interested in finding out? Hello, I'm here with my friend Kevin Zadi, and Kevin was having a dental procedure. He died. He went to heaven. You didn't want to come back.
No, Sid, I did not. I still can't understand how beautiful heaven is and how different it is to be down here. It's so slow. I just can't understand.
What do you mean so slow?
This realm is just working so slow because it's a fallen realm. And so once you experience the other realm, you don't want to come back. I mean, there's no way that you want to come back. And so he did send me back. He wanted me to teach people about prayer and how it works and so that they don't get disappointed. But this realm is in a slow mode to me. It's everything slow.
Now, I feel such a strong presence of God as we're speaking right now. Let's just kind of jump into it. What do we do? What's the first thing we should do to get our prayers answered all the time?
When Jesus was talking to me, Sid, he wanted me to come back and tell people to be aware that their prayers will be answered, but they've got to get on the same page as him. And so he has a command about him. And when he would talk, he would say, this is the way it is. And, you know, we've had meetings without you. We don't include you in on the planning part of it, but this is the way it is. And if you will get on the same page, then you're going to have all your prayers answered. Everything that you desire when you pray, if you believe, you shall receive it. That's what he told me.
You said that we have to pray ourselves into our answer. What does that mean?
Well, I saw, Sid, that the Spirit of God was standing by to coach us. And so he was there to tell us exactly what to say, what to pray for, and that he would give us in advance glimpses of the future. And so he was there to help us pray into our future. You see, Jesus told me, he said, I'm sitting here right now looking at your future because it's my now, but it's your future. But you can see it now if you will stay with me in the secret place.
And that's something that we've heard, the secret place, but what exactly is it? How can we get there and how can we stay there? You look to me like you stay there.
Well, it's a safe place. Trust me, if you came back to a place that's not like heaven, you're going to find the closest place you can and to God, and that is right in the secret place. He showed me where it was, and I was amazed at how the cherubim are on each side of God, and they cover him. And he said, Kevin, if you'll stay right there in the secret place of the Most High, right there under my wings, which is the cherubim wings, then he said, all these things are yours. And the verses 9 through 16 go through in Psalms 91, go through those benefits. But he said, if you're not making the Most High your dwelling place, if you're not in the shadow of the Most High, then these things, these goodies, he said, are not for you because you're not close enough to me.
You were telling me about you have seen, since you've been back here on earth, it's almost at times you can see what's going on in the invisible realm. You saw something in New Orleans. Tell me about that.
Yes, I wondered why the Lord had sent me and my wife to New Orleans because it's such a hard city and in many ways. And so he told me, he said, because I trust you. And so we began to pray thinking, okay, well, this is our assignment. So we spent a lot of time in prayer and all of a sudden our eyes started to be open to what's going on around us. And we would pray and spend time with the Lord in long periods of time and actually fast. And our eyes were open one night. And we saw these entities that were coming from the city of New Orleans. They were coming out into the rural areas where we lived. And I had not seen them until then, but I could suspect, just like some of the people at home would know, that they can sense when something is bothering them. I saw three entities coming up from New Orleans, and I saw an angel come and visit in our house. He grabbed me, and he said, I've come and answered your prayers. And he picked me up, and he blew those entities back to New Orleans, back to the city. And he said, this is how we take care of things on our side. And he dropped me, he put me back on my feet and flew away. And I thought, you know, what else is going on that we don't know about? But I just want to speak to the people out there right now, because I feel like a lot of you are going through some things, but you have to know that the angels have been sent to minister for you and to you, and that they have come and answered the prayers. The angel said to me, I have come and answer to your prayers, and we're going to take care of this, and this is how we take care of it. And I'm telling you right now by the Spirit of the Lord that this show is for you. I'm speaking to you because you are going through some attacks. And I'm telling you by the Spirit of God that the angels are going to be dispatched and they are going to help you in this fight and not to give up, because the Lord is with you in a great and mighty way.
I want to get in that secret place 24/7 so that, among other things, all the promises of Psalm 91 are going to be activated in my life. And I want you to get there too. We'll be right back. I want to talk to you about this invisible realm. There are what you call momentum breakers, and you identify who these momentum breakers are. You call them assassins. Explain.
I explain it this way, because when I came back, I realized that I did not distinguish that my enemy hated me and wanted to take me out. And I think as Christians, we lose our edge, that there is an enemy that hates us. And we think that somehow that he doesn't really hate us, that he just is misunderstanding and doesn't understand what's going on. But these demon spirits that come after people, they're momentum breakers. What they do is, if a Christian starts to break through and break away from the system of this world, they start to get into a pace, I call it. Jesus said that when you get into a pace, then you stay in that pace for the race. He said, these enemies know that if you continue in that pace, you're unstoppable. So Jesus told me, he said that these assassins come, their whole goal is to take you out. And as Christians, he told me, Christians have to start realizing that these demons' goal is to take you out, and that is why you need to be sober-minded, like Paul told Titus. And so I tell people all the time, listen, there's things that are being sent out to you, and there are to trip you up so that you never get to that that momentum that breaks out. And so that's what Jesus sent me back for. He said, tell the people that they can break out and that the devil is going to throw everything he has to stop them. But if they'll continue in their pace, they're unstoppable.
What are some of the areas that are these momentum breakers, that these are actual demons whose job is to be an assassin? They don't care that you die. They want to stop you from having that momentum that God has for you to fulfill your destiny.
Yes, sir. I feel, Sid, that I feel the anointing so strongly right now, because this is some of the things that will happen. You'll start to set times aside to pray. You'll start to say the right things that the Lord is saying to you. You'll repeat them. The angels start to come because they are attracted to what's written in your book. So when you start to say things in
the book of life.
Yes. And so then these demons will come. And what they'll do is they'll start to do things that'll show that your relationship with God is not what you thought it was, because things will start happening that are bad. And the Lord said, this has nothing to do with me and my relationship with them. That these bad things are assassins that are supposed to defame. They're sent to defame God. So you think that because you prayed and you started doing things in a direction that it just increased the warfare. And see, they want you to back off. The demons want you to back off. Jesus said, don't. Keep pushing through. Keep in your pace. And he said, you'll gain momentum and break out. And there will be no demons.
In other words, what he's saying to you and what you're saying to them is, don't give up. That's the word for you. Stop. Don't give up. Okay, so you went to heaven, you saw the book of life. What was that like, seeing a book that tells your whole life, all the future?
Yeah, I saw that Psalms 139:16 was absolutely true. I saw that people's names were on the bindings of the books, and they were the acts of God through individuals, and everybody has a book. And I saw that the angels are only assigned to help people with their books. And so most of the time when people get in trouble, angels come and rescue them, but that's not their main job. Their main job is to help you with your book. So when you pray in tongues, you actually have the Spirit of God reading your book. And your angels say, hey, that sounds familiar. That's the code words. They're like military officers. They'll just get ignited and start to do that. They'll just accomplish your book. So angels, remember, the angels are sent back to do your book, and there is a book written about you before you were born.
So if I'm hearing you right, what you are saying is there's a book that has your whole life. Nothing happens on earth unless a human speaks it. And by speaking in tongues, your book, you are speaking your entire destiny. That book is so specific. You told me that you saw exact amounts of money people would make. Explain that.
Yeah, there was one of the books was a friend of mine, and he was actually very wealthy as a young man, was going to make a large amount of money in his lifetime. Jesus had it down to the penny. And he said, this is what he'll be worth when he passes away and comes with me. He said, however, he's not praying in the spirit. He's not speaking in tongues. And so the Spirit of God is not allowed to have utterance through him, which means that he's not reading his book. His book says, okay, this is what he showed me. And Jesus pointed to the figure. It was four times the amount that he was going to make if he didn't speak in tongues. So if by speaking in tongues, it increased his net worth in his lifetime four times, not because he was focused on riches, but because the Spirit of God was leading him into all truth, which in fact was God's assignment for him to make money for the kingdom.
Jesus said there was a number one way to get into the Spirit. What was that?
He said it was praying in tongues.
When he came back, he provoked everyone in my audience in the studio and at home right now to jealousy. He came back playing zero musical instruments. He came back playing nine instruments. But then Jesus wasn't quite happy the way he played the sax. And so Jesus gave him special lessons to play the sax. Did Jesus play that same sax you're going to play when we come back?
Yes, he did. And he was really good at it.
Why am I feeling such a presence of God? Well, I just heard a word of knowledge. There's someone with a pain in your neck. If you move your neck, you'll see that the pain is gone. And in your head, there's like migraines or tumors, and backs are being healed right now, and hips, fingers, arthritis. Why did this just hit me? I mean, the Spirit hit me, and then I just started giving words. And by the way, you are healed. What's going on?
Well, I also feel like joints are being healed, and also I have the word for kidneys and livers, that there's healings going on right now with blood issues, and has to do with the kidneys and the liver. And there's somebody who just got healed. Their eyesight just got healed.
Okay, when we come back, I'm going to commission Kevin to play the sax, the same type of sax he saw Jesus play, the way Jesus told him to play. And I believe you're going to prophesy with music for specific people. When you aim that sax at the camera, you at home are going to get healed. And when you aim that sax at our studio audience, who knows what's going to happen? I see what's going on with him. Be right back. Yeah, Jesus taught Kevin how to play the sax the way Jesus played it. But he also taught you how to pray the way he prayed. What did he tell you?
He told me that I didn't have enough depth in my prayers, that I didn't have enough access to the depths of my heart. And he explained it as this said. He said in Psalm 16, David wrote that prophetically for me, he said. Jesus said that David wrote that psalm. And he memorized that psalm because when he was in the depths of hell, he said he rehearsed that psalm over and over again. And he said, I cleared a way out in that place for you and for everyone in Messiah to pray from those depths. He said, I prayed myself out of hell because I had the Psalm 16 and I prayed that continually. And then the Holy Spirit came and resurrected me. And he said, you pray with that kind of a fervency where you know who you are based on the scripture. Because he said, I had no witness when I was down there. I had no Holy Spirit help. He said, if the Father had not given the command, he said, I would sit down there until he gave the command for me to be resurrected. That's how much I trusted him. He said, that's where you pray from. You pray from those depths, that trust.
And then he visits you and taught you how to play. But what kind of sax did he have?
It was interesting because there's several types of sax. This one was a soprano.
I think in terms of a sax that's kind of curved. You know.
Yes, and I have all of them, but this particular one he had was a soprano sax. It was a beautiful gold saxophone, and I was sleeping at the time, and I heard something. So when I woke up, he was standing there, and he had this sax in his hands, and he started to play it over me. You know, because he sings songs of deliverance over us. But I found out that he was playing this beautiful saxophone over me. And he took it away from his mouth and handed it to me. And he said, you play. And I go, Lord, I can't play like that. He said, that's because you're doing it wrong. He said, let me show you. He said, stand up. So I stood up. My wife was still sleeping. And I looked around me. He goes, see all that around you? He said, that's the Holy Spirit and the presence and glory of my Father. He said, that's always there. He said, what's wrong is you're not breathing in heaven first. He said, breathe that in first and then blow it through your horn and it'll work out just fine. So I took a big breath and all this gold air around me went inside of me. And I put that horn that he handed to me in my mouth and I blew. And it was exactly like Jesus had played. And so he taught me that, he said, everything you do, Kevin, should be from the breath of heaven.
I am going to stretch Kevin. He has played instruments in front of groups of people, and people have been healed, been delivered. But I want him to do something else, something that I don't believe anyone's asked him to do before. I want him to take that same type of saxophone he saw Jesus play. What is it called?
A soprano saxophone.
A soprano sax. And I want him to prophesy over selected people in our studio audience by not his mouth, but by that golden breath coming out of the sax. And then I want you to look at the camera and prophesy to specific people at home through that music. And I believe we're going to get amazing results.
Yes.
I mean, I've heard of this before. Now, we're all going to witness it. Kevin, get that anointed sax, take a deep breath of that golden oxygen, and play.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That was a good video. He has a couple better than that. He explains things in more detail. And some of you probably already looked at these, and that's wonderful. But I don't think it hurts us for us to hear it over and over again. Now, did you notice Kevin said we were living in a fallen realm, and we are working in slow motion? Remember, God spoke to us a while back and said that we need to get things in order because time was going to speed up and we wouldn't have time to get things together. We had to get them together way back when. Now, Kevin also said that Jesus told him our prayers would always be answered. I'm just going through some of the points that we need to really think about. Kevin said that Jesus told him our prayers would always be answered if we stayed in a secret place under his wing, which is a cherubim wing. And I know God has spoken over and over and over again. He says, come into the secret place under my wing. He's been telling us that for quite some time. And that's why because of everything that Jesus told Kevin, that's why I entitled it, Will We Ever Get It Right? We keep hearing the same thing over and over and over again, but we don't do anything about what we hear. And this is why we have the sin nature that we have. Jesus said that all our benefits are in Psalm 91, so I thought we would read Psalm 91, 1 through 16. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Now, these are all the things He's going to do for you if you stay in that secret place. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. See that? Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. You're not going to fall into the sin nature. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Why? For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. In other words, if you abide in the secret place, then you're always going to have the enemy under your feet. So if you still have a sin nature that's taking you over, it's because you are not in that secret place in God. You have not put you're not intimate enough with God, and you have not put God first place in your life. And I'm hearing God say you have to do this continually. You can't just do it, say you're doing it once and then it's all right. You have to do it continually. Verse 13 says, because you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you shall trample underfoot. Why? Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. You're going to have to learn to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit. You're just going to have to get rid of the devil once and for all, and you're just going to have to walk in the holiness of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to make it through. I don't want to hear no excuses. God doesn't want to hear no excuses. And you need to quit saying excuses to yourself. And the reason why you're going through all your trials and tribulations you're going through is because you're still caught up in the natural world, in the flesh, and the enemy's able to bombard you on all sides. Verse 15 says, He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. See, God said, you know, if you abide under the shadow, when you call upon Jesus, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. There's, you know, Psalm, that's a beautiful psalm, and there's all of our benefits right there if we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, God kept telling us we need to climb upon his lap and press into his bosom and be so close to him that nothing or no one can separate us from him. And that is not what the body of Christ is doing. The body of Christ is not doing that. We're putting the world in the flesh first. You know, we still don't even give. God said he wants Sunday. He wants all day Sunday for himself, does he not? But we don't give him that. We give him a couple hours and think that should satisfy him. But God said he gives you 6 days to work and to labor. He wants his day. How many of you truly give him his day? You need to stop and think about this. Now, Daniel 10 through 13, and this is Daniel, suddenly a hand touched me, which made, you know, Daniel was praying. And suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. Daniel was praying. God sent an angel to Daniel. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, you know, the enemy held up the prayer, the answer for 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Every prayer that you pray under the shadow of the Almighty is heard, and God immediately sends the answer. And with Daniel, it was 21 days before he got an answer, but it could be 10 months before we get an answer. It could be 2 years before we get an answer. That's not going to happen any longer. But this is what it used to be. Some people said it took 10 years to get an answer to their, you know, God told them something was going to happen. 10 years later, it finally manifested. But we're in a dispensation of time now. Whenever God tells you something, it's going to happen right then and there. All right. Then he said that the enemy, the assassins, truly hate us. His entire goal is to take us out. How many times has God told us that? That the enemy truly does hate you, and he's trying to just kill you. This man was in heaven and straight from the lips of Jesus. Every time we praise, Satan ups the warfare. Jesus called the demons momentum breakers. Their job is to stop that momentum you have to fulfill your destiny. At this point, you will think you're in trouble with God. This is what he said. But the truth is, and how many of us feel like that? But the truth is, the warfare has increased because they do not want you to push through. And when you start thanking God for his promises that are in your book, an angel immediately comes to complete your destiny. I made sure my family knew that Thanksgiving was a day of thankfulness. I said, we're going to thank God all day long, and I'm not going to hear none of this other junk that I hear all the time. This is a day to be thankful for what God has done for us. Now, every time right before you're ready to get a breakthrough, all hell breaks loose around about you, does it not? A lot of people get discouraged and go back into their sin nature. You're going to have tenacity, and you're going to have to be able to stand firm and fight through that battle. Because God said he's already won the battle for you. Why do you always get discouraged and downtrodden? I really like to have some honest answers about that someday. If God is your refuge, if he's your father, And you say you love him and he loves you, then why do you get so discouraged? Now, I get disgusted. And there is a difference, right? And I don't get discouraged. I just get disgusted that people will not believe what God is telling them. Now, he went on to say, remember, you have to pray in tongues for the things in your book to be activated. And he said it, when we speak / pray in tongues, angels help us with our book. Now, I was talking to Brother Christopher about that, and I said, I hear you pray in tongues all the time. And I hear Nancy Willis pray in tongues all the time. But I don't see you getting your prayers answered. And after he left, God said the reason is because they have doubt and unbelief, and they have negativity. So they negate their praying in their tongues. And the angels can't work with that. Now, I know other people in here do too, but these two really pray in tongues all the time. So, you know, if you're going to pray in tongues so that the angels can come and help you with your book, then get out of your doubt and unbelief, and some have religious spirits, and get out of your flesh and trust God. And then Psalms 139, 14 through 16 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. He's talking to God here. And skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. The psalmist says, the book was written before I was ever born. And then the Message Bible reads in Psalm 139, 13 through 16, oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. If you're so wonderfully and marvelously made, then why are you defaming your temple? Yeah, why are you doing the sin nature that you, why do you keep the sin nature that you have if you're wonderfully formed and made? These are thought-provoking things. I just want you to think about what you're really doing. And verse 15, you know me inside out and know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Verse 16, like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. And I've told you that we are spirit beings in heaven, and God spoke to us at the time he needed to use us and sent us down here so we could do assignments for him. You just weren't conceived because a man and woman got together or you had a needle put in you, however they do that stuff. You were wonderfully made and formed by God himself. The world tells us our book was written before we were, the word tells us our book was written before we were ever born. Jesus told Kevin that David, the psalmist, wrote Psalm 16 prophetically for Jesus. That blew my mind. And without it, he would not have been able to come out of hell. Jesus said he memorized Psalm 16 and prayed it continually while in hell and prayed himself out of hell. And the Holy Spirit came and brought him out. See, as I was watching this and watching others this morning, so this is a prophetic church. God prophesies to you exactly what he wants you to do, exactly what he's going to do with your life. And that's what you should be speaking. Because, see, what God is prophesying is what's in your book that was written before you were ever born. And when God's prophesying to you, he's prophesying to you what's in your book so that you keep speaking those things so that the angels can come and help bring that to pass. Are you listening? And just like the man, you know, who had a book, how much money he was going to make in his lifetime. All right. And I thought about that. And I thought about, see, this is what you have to look at this stuff and let it be thought provoking and start thinking about yourself. God told me if you quit your job at the college, my paycheck will be bigger than the world's. Well, that's not happening. And I know why, because I keep saying that it's not happening. If I would say what's written in my book, I'm going to be a millionaire. And keep professing what's in my book, God can bring it to pass. The angels will come and work on it and bring it to pass. All right? So God said you are healed. Now make your body come in line with healing, with that healing. So now God already knew what was going to happen in my life because he wrote my book before I was born. So he knew I was going to get sick. But he'd already made a way and prepared a way for me to be healed. So now I have to speak out my book. Are you listening here? All right, Nancy was sharing with me that they use people's books to help with deliverance. Nancy, can you tell us about that, share that?
Yeah, during deliverances, there'll be times where God will tell us to open up the courtroom and call forth the books, our book of life, the books of destiny, the books of generations, the books of tears, and also the books of accusations. And there's been others, but those are the only four that I remember that we use continuously. And there's also times where when we're praying, we ask the angels to read the books and the scrolls that are about our, you know, the individual's life and call it into existence. This destroys the legal rights of the enemy. And it also, the enemy can't argue the truth of what's written in those books. And when that takes place, we've seen really deep deliverances take place.
So you see, whenever you come in for deliverance, if you come in with a mindset of it's not about me, it's about what the enemy has done in me, and you keep your little prideful self out of the deliverance and stay down and let the people, instead of arguing the people, let the people hear from God what's in your book. And then they do deliverance on you, then you'll be set free. There is not one deliverance that goes on in this church that they don't first of all fast and pray about and hear God's voice on what's going on in this person's life. But they can't make the person shut up. They can't. You know, all they can do is do what you allow them to do to you. And if you don't really want to be set free from that pride, then you won't be set free from anything. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, guys. You know, every one of us have a situation with inside of us that is not of God. And the only way it's going to get out is if you trust the deliverance team to hear from God and pull that thing out. Was there anything else you wanted to say, Nancy? Was that it? All right, Psalm 16, 5 through 11 says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. What's he say? I have set the Lord always before me. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life in your presence of fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, this Psalm 16, 5 through 11 is what Jesus said he memorized and prayed while he was in hell. I should have told you that first. All right. This is what he even said, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, which is hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So why are you not full of joy? you're not in the presence of the Father. All right? You really need to take, you need to start doing an inventory of yourself and find out why you are doing what you're doing and why things are going on around about you that are going on around about you. I'm just going to share this. For 4 days, I kept calling her by Larry, and I could feel his presence. So Friday, I went up in my room and I sat down in the chair and I said, God, why is this going on? Why am I feeling his presence? So, I mean, it was real. And he said, because he is in heaven watching over you. He could never bring you the happiness he wanted to when he was alive and with you, but he wants you to be happy now. And he's watching over you. And I do know that your loved ones do that, because early on in being born again, God opened up the heavens and let me see my loved ones telling me, you know, come on, you can do this thing. My sister died and she said, Barbie, you've got to learn to enjoy life and live. You know, and then when my mother died, I saw my mother and she said, it's okay. And she was smiling. See, our loved ones are up there watching over us and encouraging us to go on. And we're being stupid down here and allow the enemy to destroy every day of our life. We give him ground after ground after ground to come and to destroy us. We need to stop this. We need to really sell ourselves out to God 100%. And I really get upset with marriages. You profess to love this person with all your heart, but you don't give them your all. You keep a little bit of yourself for yourself. That's a greedy, selfish part that you keep to yourself. If you really loved your spouse, you would give your all to them, and there'd be nothing else in between you. I watch marriages, and I don't even like to do weddings, to tell you the truth, because they don't last. Why? Because there's selfishness, and you don't want to really share your life with somebody. You just want to be with somebody, but still do your own thing your way. You cause the other person so much pain and so much hurt when you do this. Why don't you just stay single and just be miserable yourself? I'm serious. Over the years, and I've even had Brother Chris, I said, I don't want to do this when you do it. I'm just tired of standing up here and hearing people say, oh, profess that they're going to love them the rest of their life. And it isn't even 6 months and they're already messing up. If we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, this wouldn't happen, would it? Because you would have so much love for Jesus to begin with. And then that love would saturate your being. And then it would just be poured out upon everybody you come in contact with. All right, remember when he played the flute, Jesus told him to breathe in heaven first and then play the flute. And then from that, I firmly believe that we need to breathe in heaven before we do anything. And I really believe if we breathed in heaven before we even prayed, we would pray differently. And I think we breathed in. Well, he even says in the one I was watching last night, he said that he was one, he just rattled off, his mouth would just flop all over the place. But once he was with Jesus, he measures every word he speaks. He does no longer have diarrhea of the mouth, is the way I put it. He measures every word. And you and I would do the very same thing if we were walking under the shadow of the Almighty. We really would. Here, he said this too when I was watching this morning. He said, you know, when you judge somebody else, he says, get your wardrobe size ready. Because what you judge somebody else for is going to come right back on you. He said, the people need to quit judging one another. Because God's very upset with that. Thought that was cute. Give him your wardrobe size because you're going to have to wear what you just spoke about somebody else. Amen. Let me see Psalm 37, verse 1, a psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers. Now, see, you really need to look what you're reading. nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. You know, Brother Larry said one time, we went to a conference where prophets were there, you know, and he got a prophetic word. He came out and he was really mad. I said, what's your problem? He said, God told me that I could, because of my calling, I couldn't do what other people do, and that makes me mad. How come they can do it and I can't do it? See, he fits in with verse 1, a psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. He fumed about that all the way home. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. See that? Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. We don't do that. We do not delight ourselves in the Lord. No, we don't. If you did, you wouldn't be running around here looking like you just ate dill pickles, right? Come on. Commit your way to the Lord. You don't do that either. You just give him, I'll give you 50% or 99%. But he told me one day, I don't want 99% of you. I want 100% of you. He told me that first when I was first born again. He wanted all of me. I couldn't hold anything back in reserve at all, because after all, I am his, right? Didn't when I in heaven with him, I'm his, right? So he doesn't want just 99%. He put all of himself into me, and he wants all of himself back. All right? Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. We don't feed on God's faithfulness. Where you at, God? Why aren't you working this out? After all, you did say, and it's still going on. Come on, y'all say that. If you really fed on his faithfulness, you know he's faithful to fulfill whatever he spoke over your life. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's why you don't have the desires of your heart. You do not delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as a noonday. Rest in the Lord. How long did he tell us to get into that place of rest? Hadn't he telling us to get into that place of rest? And wait patiently for him. We wanted it done yesterday. And that's why we have not entered into the rest, and that's why we are not patient. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. I was fretting because God hasn't taken me to heaven. And this man's not wicked, but see, I'm not supposed to fret about that, right? If God wants to take me to heaven, he will. If he doesn't, fine again. I'll one day see heaven if I keep my act together. All right, Gabriel said to me, are you going to go to heaven, Mom? I said, I don't know. I'm trying really hard, but every now and then when I'm angry, right at that point, if I died, I wouldn't. So no, I'm not going to say, yes, I've got a seat in heaven. I don't know if I do or not. Because God told me one time, you can lose your salvation at any given second. So we have to keep our self-right at every second then, right? We don't have the option to get upset and throw a fit. Then he says, verse 8, cease from anger. Have you noticed how anger is really prevalent right now? If you'd ever see little Isaiah when he's angry, he throws the biggest fit. He'll stand at the edge of your bed and jump up and down for 5 minutes screaming. I just stand there and wait for him to quit. And the other day he was so mad at me, he picked up one of his long rifles and his face was red. He wanted to hit me with that so bad, I just didn't say a word. And finally he threw it across the room and went and sat down. His anger gets totally out of control. I said, where does all this anger come from in these kids, you know? Where does all this anger come from in the grown-ups? It comes from the enemy. We know that. But why is it so prevalent? Darkness. Gross darkness. Kids are born drug addicted. The enemy already has a foothold in their life before the poor little things even come out of the womb. And it just goes on and on and on and on. We'll do verse 8 again. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. You're like, yeah, yesterday he was throwing one of his fists, and I said to his daddy, please, just go back into your room. Let him alone. Because the more you fuss with him, the more he throws a fit. Just leave him alone. So he begrudgingly backs out. And then he gets over it, and he's fine. You know, if God doesn't change him, beating him to death isn't going to change him. Screaming in his face isn't going to change him. You have to pray and hold him up before the Lord and let the angelic host come and minister to him. Right? All right. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. It says we're going to inherit the earth, does it not? As we stay in a secret place under the cherubim wing, we will have perfect peace and our prayers will be answered. When your prayers aren't answered, there's always a reason. And if you really check it out, it's you. It's you. So I wouldn't be blaming other people, judging other people. Put your dress size in there if you do. I would be saying, God, what is there in me that's causing this to still happen? What am I not doing that things are not changing? All right. Now, I'll just use my own self for example. You know, God has promised me something that hasn't come, you know, in my home and it hasn't come to pass yet. And I said, God, what is there in me that this is still going on? He says, it's nothing in you. It's in the people. And I have to do this perfectly so it works out perfectly. In other words, he couldn't rush things. He had to work those things out. And I have to be patient until they're all worked out. And then everything's going to be just fine. But if I stick my 2 cents in there, it's not going to be fine. And I'm not going to be blessed. I'll be cursed along with everybody else. Now, you might say, well, I do abide under the shadow of the Almighty, but do you abide under there with fear, doubt, unbelief, strife? You know, if you abide under the shadow, you have to abide there in peace, perfect peace. You have to know that you know that you know that God is in control no matter what you do or say. And you just have to place everything in his hands. With my home, remember I told you years ago when I was first born again, God told me to get rid of the devil in the house that day. And I didn't want my family to think I was any crazier than I already thought I was. And God said, if you don't do it, the sword will always be in your home. I didn't do it because I didn't want them to think I was crazy. That's been 40 years I've had a sword in my home. Because I was afraid of what they would say. And they are what's caused, or they are the sword. Do you understand this? So I can't complain about what's going on in my home. I didn't do what God told me to do. Because I looked at the faces around about me. Now I want each one of you, I'm honest with myself. Now I want each one of you to be honest with yourself. And learn why you are not receiving what God wants you to receive. And then once you understand it, get in that secret place, stay there. God did tell me, he's a daughter, he said, I'm going to take you into perfect peace that will last forever until you come to be with me. Just be still and let me do things the way I have to do. I have to do them. So, guys, there is a place of peace even if you did mess up. And, you know, quit fussing about what you have to go through along the line. And just know that God is in control. And that we do have power and authority over the enemy. He doesn't have power and authority over us. And, you know, if you want to learn how to pray in tongues, well, then start praying in tongues. But if you're going to pray in tongues to get your book answered, then get your act together first. Get out of hate, anger, strife, always pointing a finger, always judging, all that. You can have that junk and expect the angels to come and get your book working for you. All right. I think I'll have a glass of wine before I go to bed. Is that right? Come on. A couple of people said, well, wine doesn't hurt anything. And I don't know why I'm saying this. Wine doesn't hurt anything. I said, is that right? Then how come God tells us in the Word that we shouldn't be drinking it? In the Old Testament, they drank it for, and you know, I know somebody drink, well, I've got a bad stomach, so I have to drink wine. Get out of here. You know, and they become a wino. You know, if you have a bad stomach, take it to the Lord. He can heal that. All right. I don't know why I said that, but there it's out there. So this morning, God wants you, first of all, I'm hearing him say to quit judging others. Because your skeletons are many in your own closet. And he wants you to get out of your doubt, your fear, and your unbelief. Get out of your flesh and abide under the shadow. And he said, if you want to really learn how to abide under the shadow, he's going to open your eyes up this morning and show you how to do that. And whenever he does that, he wants you to stay there in perfect peace and harmony. So the altar's open if you want God to really stress to you how to stay under the shadow of the Almighty. Church, the church has to start be a witness to the world. We can't profess one thing and then act another way. We have to be true soldiers of the cross, always faithful to our Father. Come on, just let his anointing, somebody's got to get back to her, she's going to go down. Come on, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to fall upon us. As you yield totally and completely, the Holy Spirit is going to fall upon you. And he's going to change and rearrange your lifestyle. It's never going to be the same. Ask God to rip every religious spirit out of you right now. That is not going to take you into the Spirit. Ask God to take all that doubt and unbelief and that religious mindset you have. Ask him to take that all from you this morning.